I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley. This is Life in the Rough, the podcast.
Episode 26.
Love it. I wish I was golfing today, Kev. The weather sucks outside. Nothing but fucking rain in Connecticut on Tuesday.
Yeah, not really raining here right now. It's been kind of raining all day, though. Definitely shitty weather. Not really golf weather. It's great podcast recording weather, though.
Dude, it is. It is. I definitely appreciate that when I don't feel like we're giving something back, you know, when we've got 75 degree weather outside, maybe a little daylight and we're kicking it up here on the mic. But no, this is definitely one of those times where I'm even more excited because I feel like we're taking full advantage of the weather.
Yeah, I think you're very excited. I think you texted me earlier stating your excitement to record. I don't remember exactly what you said, but you were...
I said I'm amped, man. I'm amped. I'm just ready to talk. I'm ready to talk golf. I feel like we hadn't talked golf in a while. I think it's because we recorded last week on a Monday, and now, like, so this is 8 days from us last talking about golf, besides seeing each other.
And playing and talking and golf. Playing golf.
And yeah, but no, it's not the same, man. It's not the same. I'm used to, you know, sitting down here, putting the headphones on, getting in front of the mic and doing the damn thing. And it felt like we were, you know, 8 days, you know, 8 days in between.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, it's one thing to play golf with you because, like, we get to see each other in the flesh and everything, but I feel like I can really give all of myself to you when we're recording. Cause like, we're just so focused on each other. Whereas when we're playing golf, I mean, I'm focused on my game.
Yeah, as you should be, Kev. And I think I completely agree there. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got our second major, the Run It Back Classic. We've got an update about where we ate to because we found the diamond in the rough. We got a bunch of rounds in. But before we get there, Kev, we need to start with the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah.
Holy moly. I mean, I was able to watch a good amount of it throughout the weekend because this is one of the things I love about West Coast golf, especially when it's in a major because there are so many more people playing that there are so many more tee times. But yeah. I'm sitting at home on Thursday night until 11:30 watching golf. Like, it was awesome. Like,
it was great.
I was able to get out, do whatever I needed to do in the afternoon, focus on work, not even have to worry about the tournament. My day pretty much is over, and then everyone starts teeing off. Dude, it was awesome.
Dude, even on Saturday when we played golf, we had a 1:10 tee time. I think we teed off a little bit early, but by the time we got to eat, the leaders had just teed off, I'm pretty sure, or were like about to tee off. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't even miss any of their rounds, really.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And same thing on Sunday. I went down to my parents for Father's Day. And, you know, we were only an hour away from leaving. You know, we had already been there probably three or four hours or so. Then the leaders were about to tee off. And I was like, this is perfect. I was like, we'll drive home. We'll miss like the first four or five holes that they play. And then I'll be sitting at home on the home stretch for the last, you know, five or six groupings to go off. And man, did we time that right? It was awesome.
Dude, it was exceptional. The only fault for me, so Sunday, I had pretty much my earliest weekend's tee time of the year thus far. Teed off at 7:15 and was done by like 11:30. And then I was like, shit, well, like normally I could just go home and like watch the golf. But at this point, anybody that's playing, like I don't even really care about. It was like I had too much time. But I mean, that's a complaint for another day. But
yeah, it's definitely a good problem to have.
Yeah, but the U.S. Open in general was a fucking electric factory, dude. It was like the who's who of the PGA Tour on the leaderboard the entire weekend.
Well, I mean, that will happen when you're only so many strokes under par, right? The cream will rise to the top, and you know, they showed up.
Pulled that euphemism out of your back pocket.
You know, I actually think I heard that somewhere earlier in the last couple days because I'm not a cream rises to the top kind of guy. That's just not something that I say, but it does fit there. And it was somebody put it in my head recently. I'm not sure where it came from, but yeah, I appreciate you noticing that.
In what scenario does cream just rise to the top though? Where does that come from? Do we know? Like when you pour cream in your coffee, it doesn't just rise to the top, does it? keep the audio of the keyboard in the podcast, please. That sounded cool.
Cream is a dairy product composed of a higher fat layered skim from the top of milk before
homogenization.
Yeah, there we go. If unhomogenization milk, the fat is less dense, eventually rises to the top.
Hmm. All right. Well, I'm glad we've completely derailed ourselves. And I'm also glad we know that. That was awesome. I needed to know because I thought that was a great phrase, first of all. And I'm glad that we now know its origins and what it means. But yeah, anyway, back to the US Open. Fucking electric. So many big names that were just like in contention all weekend, you know?
Dude, after the first day you saw some of the scores, and like I remember after Thursday being like, Bryson's not even gonna make the cut, you know.
Yeah,
I think he was two over or three over after, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was after Thursday. And then, you know, he was right there. I think he actually finished at three over.
Well, yeah, because he just absolutely imploded on the back nine on Sunday. He had like a double, a triple. He shanked one out of was he in the rough or a bunker on, was it 16? I think it was. Like, he literally was right next to the green. I think it was probably in the rough, and he just hosled one 40 yards the other side of the green.
I've been seeing a lot of hosled shots recently, Kev, and it makes me feel a lot better about my game. That's for sure. But dude, like, yeah. I love an event when it's 4 days of golf and the winner ends up being six under. Like, fuck yes. Give me that. That's awesome. And not to mention the fact that the winner shoots six under and he shoots four under on Sunday. Like, Rom went out there fully vaccinated, just hungry for a championship. And dude, he brought it home.
Yeah. Great. Well, that's the I was pumped to see Rom win. Obviously, we'll get into that. But when the course is that difficult, it makes Sundays really exciting too, because somebody makes two birdies on the back nine, they're all of a sudden very in contention or making it a lot more interesting. Or it's like those last like 17 and 18 for Rom, for example, just gave him the lead and let him keep it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, it's like big shit like that is allowed to happen when a course is difficult, because not everybody's making six, seven, eight birdies every round. Right. They're lucky to get four.
No, you're absolutely right. And when you look at the leaderboard, like in the top 10, you've got Paul Casey, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Danny Berger, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka, Louis Oosthuizen, John Rahm. Like,
you skipped over Guido.
I did. I left off a couple people that aren't huge names, but the reason I did that is like just to bring home the point of like the really good players play really well in these type of tournaments. And, you know, Brooks had said it a couple of years ago about majors, and he was like, you know, there's a lot, they're not as hard as you guys think. You have to play good golf, but a lot of the field doesn't have a chance.
Right. Yeah. The thing is you definitely cannot play bad golf.
You have to play.
You need to play. Right.
If you're not one of the top players in the world, you have to play perfect golf all 40.
Right. Yeah. I think this, I mean, obviously Bryson was in contention for like a long time, except for Sunday, but I feel like his inaccuracy off the, like, obviously, like, he has the mentality, like, bomb it as far as you can. Even if you're in the rough, you got 60 yards, you can get it up on the green. That does not work on a US Open course.
Not the best play. No. The rough is certainly penal, and also, you know, missing so far that you're taking drops and you're just, I have no control over the driver and you're going into OB area, penalty area. Like, no, I agree with you. You can't just give strokes away there. That being said, he gained so much on the field by his distance off the tee that I think that he factors in, like, I can drop two balls around and still be in the top five, which is nuts.
I shouldn't make a sweeping claim that it's not going to work on a US Open course, because he did win the US Open last year, so that's kind of a bad thing.
I wasn't just going to shit on you and bring it but
you know what I meant, though.
He could win this week at Travelers. I mean, it's not a long course at all. If he wants to take some crazy angles, you know, he could do some damage.
Are you going?
No, I'm going to Myrtle Beach, man.
Oh, right.
We've got the big trip. Yeah. So unfortunately, we're leaving Friday.
Unfortunately, you're leaving for Myrtle Beach.
Well, no. The unfortunate thing about it, Kev, I looked at the 10-day forecast today. 10 days would bring me to, you know, when we come home. It's looking like thunderstorms every single day. I mean, couldn't fuck me more, bro. Couldn't just be rain. I could deal with rain. I can golf in rain. But when they start blowing that horn and I tell baby girl that I'm only going to be 3.5 hours and then daddy comes home 5.5 hours later, all soaking wet. And she's just upset because she wanted to go in the pool. And it looks like I already went to the pool with all my clothes on. She's not going to be pleased. So not pleased about the weather. Got my club.
Are we really using baby girls and daddies again on the podcast?
No, we're going to stop that. You have to implement these little phrases every like 7 to 8 episodes just to keep them pinging. So like when people hear that, they're like, did he really just say baby girl? Yes.
Because we have the hashtag baby girl listeners that we need to hold on to. I get it now. All right. Proceed with the forecast.
About me as the intimidator later on as well. There are things that get dropped in the podcast that if you are a week to week listener, you will pick up on.
Yeah, call up your 8th grade English teacher, people. It's called foreshadowing.
Actually, I have to mention, while we're on the topic, Tim Plun just reached out to me last week after last week's episode. Thought the Dale Earnhardt reference was hilarious. I said, Tim, I'm glad I was the only one.
That is funny. I actually, our boy Thickness reached out to me 2 weeks in a row. One time said, did Brian hit the lottery? Where is he getting all these shoes?
And he
followed up with a, Brian loves his garlic bread.
Oh, bro. I fucking love... Anybody that knows me will say I love garlic bread. But the garlic bread at the Nutcracker tournament, holy fucking shit.
It has a 2-episode mention. It's got to be fire.
Yeah, no. That absolutely. But yeah, no. So I'm not going to the Travelers this week. I'm pretty upset about it. I was going through my phone and Time Hop popped up and these photos of me following... Justin Thomas, he was paired up with Tony Finau and Bubba Watson. Like, that's an awesome threesome to watch. And the other one was Cantlay, Kepka, and I forget who the third guy was. But, like, the guys I was following were it's great. I love the Travelers. It's such an awesome tournament to go to. You get so close to so many players, get to watch some great golf. Obviously it wasn't last year. It was 2 years ago that these pictures were showing up from. Bryson was tiny in the photos on my phone.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Look at, it's so funny to look at now, him in his stupid fucking hat looking all puny. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he thought if he got jacked, he wouldn't look like an idiot wearing that stupid fucking hat that he wears.
They'd respect the cap. Yeah, I don't know.
That pee in the middle of it this week. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love Puma. I've already packed my bags for Myrtle Beach. I probably have at least 9 Puma items, and 3 of them are hats, and 3 of them are sneakers.
And the other items are all life in the rough.
Actually, definitely more than 9 now that I'm really thinking about it. But I fucking love Puma. I'm not trying to have no French beret fucking wishy-washy shit. I hate it. I hate it, Kev. I hate it. I think I mentioned it once or twice. I hate it. I'm sorry. Yeah. So no, I'm not going to the Travelers. I wish I was. I'll be heading down to Myrtle Beach. My clubs are already packed in the travel suitcase. God, please let me get in at least 3 rounds.
That would be huge. I mean, it sounds like it would be great if you got 1 round in based off your forecast, but
yeah, I know. Well,
it can't possibly thunderstorm the entire time. You're there for a full week, right?
8 days. Yeah. You'd think it couldn't. Every day. All right, but we'll see.
I bet you'll have like halves of days that are going to be solid. And then, well, you know, maybe I'm trying to be optimistic.
To be optimistic too. And the half days are better be solid, better be in the morning. Cause that's when that's golf.
Is that when daddy plays golf?
I was thinking about saying that's when daddy gets to golf, but I wouldn't say it like you say it. Like this isn't, that's not what that is. It's not how I say it. All right. So anyways, daddy got to play a couple times last week.
Wait,
before we get into my rounds, I took John Rahm on Sunday before everything started, plus 1,000. Let's go on those odds to all my gamblers out there taking those daily picks. We brought that one home. Took Xander early before the tournament started at plus 1800. Really liked it. And then throughout the weekend, he just kind of fell off. I was solid about the pick, but I mean, don't get me wrong. Xander still had a top 10 finish. It was just five strokes off the leaderboard or off the leader. So no, cashed in another one 2 weeks in a row. Let's bring it home. We got it hot. Early picks for the Travelers. I mean, this isn't like I'm calling any secrets. I'm going with long guys. I went with DJ. He won it last year, and I threw a little on DeChambeau, both at plus 1200. We'll see how it goes. I'm sure if
there you go
lead by Sunday, you know I'm going to have some money on somebody else. That is not an addiction problem. I know the hotline number. That's just me letting you know that I like to be in the action in case the guys I took early are not in the action anymore.
I don't know who the third guy is, but I saw they released like the feature pairings for the Travelers this week. And the first one I saw, the first two are Bubba and Phil. I don't remember who the third person is, but I'm already a big fan of just like, that's gotta be one of the funnier groups to like, I hope they're mic'd up.
Dude, it's all, it is going to be the best group because they're grouped up with Paul Casey.
Oh,
Casey is the funniest fucking guy. Dude, he'll hit a shot.
All three of them just talk the entire time. It's hilarious.
Paul Casey will hit a bad shot and he'll be like, you're not going to win. You're not going to win making that fucking shot. He'll be like, an amateur could shoot better than that. Like, but that's the worst fucking shot I've ever had ever. Like, he gets after it. No, there are a couple good ones. You got Mickelson, Casey, and Bubba. Then you've got Koepka, DJ, and Finau. Then you've got Higo, Cantlay and Leishman, and then Stewart, the whole sink, DeChambeau and Patrick Cheaterman Reed.
Wow, that's a dynamic group right there. But I want to talk about the opposite of the Bryson, Phil, Paul Casey group, and then you go with Koepka, DJ, and Finau. Fine. Those guys aren't even going to say a word the entire time they play.
No. There's not, and that would be a perfect time for someone like me to be at the tournament because they hit a shot. Life in the rough! Yeah, fuck that Baba Booey. Guys, we are out here making a presence. We need it known. Everyone that is attending the Travelers this weekend, please follow a featured group. Get it on camera. Give a life in the rough scream when somebody hits a shot. We're out there. We'll be out there.
Dude, you know how in the PGA tournaments, they, or actually probably most professional golf tournaments, they have the people that if the ball goes in the rough, they run over there with the flag?
Yeah.
What if they started putting our logo on that flag?
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd, well, there aren't any current logos on the flags themselves. So
I think
we don't have competition. I mean, that's something, that's a little optimism there. But I can't even get a tee time at TPC River Highlands, so I'm not sure how we're going to get our logo on the flags. But, hey, listen, something to strive for. You know,
I mean, we're cornering the market, as you've already mentioned, so I think we'll be okay. Obviously. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, so the end of the tournament was sick. Rahm's finishes on 17 and 18. Just awesome.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the streaker is running down 13, hitting balls into the rough or whatever.
That was ridiculous. So
that's a treat. Bones McKay's recap. Were you watching it when they asked him about it?
No, I wasn't.
Did he
just say like he was face down in the middle of the fairway or something like that?
Yeah, it was wicked funny. They were like it was before anybody knew about it or whatever, and they asked Bones, they're like, oh, they're dealing with an unruly fan. They're like, Bones, can you like let us know? But because like they can't show it on video. And he was like, yep, there was a unruly fan that had a ball, balls and a club and ran out onto the 13th fairway and was hitting balls or whatever. And then he was like, yeah, the cops came out. He is tackled. He's currently face down on 13th fairway. And then the other announcer just goes like, wow, Bones, that was like the best recap you've given, or like the best play-by-play or recap, whatever he said, you've given all day. It was just like a great interaction on air. It was so funny.
Yeah, I think I did see that actually.
Yeah. You played golf this weekend, huh?
I did. So real quick before we get to it, fantasy was horse shit.
I came second
to last. Nelly came in first. Jack, he beat Jack by half a point. I should probably pay people out on that, huh? Yeah, maybe next week.
Only Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll be okay. Yeah, but no, I got out. I got out last Tuesday. I was able to get my chores done early after work. Went over to Blackledge Anderson. Dude, it was awesome. I showed up. This is golf karma. Like I show up. There are these three kids standing on the tee box and they're like, "Hey, are you a single?" And I was like, "Oh, these bros want to play with me." Like, they're so lucky. They don't even know it. Yeah. And I go in, I pay, and I come back out and they're like, "Hey man, you can just play through if you want." And I was like, what's in front of you? What's going on? They're like, "Oh, nobody." And I was like, okay. I only asked because I don't want to be a single and then go get stuck between a foursome and a threesome. And then I'm just sitting there being rushed. Like, so I want nothing to do with that. So I saw no one on the green. It didn't look like anyone was on the second tee box. So I was like, yeah, guys, no problem. Striped one down the fairway. Obviously. And I went on my way to double bogey the first hole. But let me tell you, these guys, that's what you do. If you're out there, you're going to hack it up with your buddies. You're just going to drink some beer, domestic or IPAs, whatever. If you don't want to be on your A game and ready to hit every ball when it's time to hit the ball, let people play through. There's no shame in that. If you got nowhere to be, no shame in that. So I ended up shooting a 44. Nothing too crazy. I went double bogey, 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 par, birdie, back on the double bogey train, then bogey, and then bogey to finish. So I felt good about it. I had some bad shots, but I had some bad putts. Like I had three lip outs, on two holes in a row. So that was a little frustrating, but you know, all things considered, take it, Kev. Had nothing wrong.
Not bad.
No, with
three a 44 on a Wednesday night.
That's Tuesday night. Tuesday? Yeah, come on. I mean, I was home before dinner. It was one. It was perfect.
Perfect. I love that. I got out for a weeknight nine last week too, and I had. It was like the most up and down round you'll ever hear about. I shot a 42. Not bad. Not a bad round.
Good round.
I go, listen to how all over the place this is. Par one, triple two, which is a par five. So I tripled a par five. That's just a snowman and ugly. Par three. So I'm three over through three. Then I double four, birdie five, par six, bogey seven, birdie eight.
Wow. Woo.
Double nine.
Oh.
It was like I played nine holes. I had two birdies. And I shot fucking six over. I'm like, this is fucking, it was a wild round. Very weird.
But it's good. Cause I mean, it's nice when you're, I don't know. I find something a little bit, doubles don't beat me up as much anymore now that the competition is over, because I take a step back and I'm just like, well, that's why that happened. Whether it's a duff in the fairway or a shank into the fucking woods or one off the hosel or a horrible first putt that leaves you to a three putt. When you have things like that and you look back on them, it tells a much different story of the way that the hole plays. So like I've said before, like I say I shoot a 45 and I have 5 3 putts. Now a 45, I'm nine over, but with 5 3 putts, four of those probably shouldn't happen, or maybe three of them shouldn't happen. So let's take a couple strokes off in terms of like, and we're not even counting the misses that weren't on the green. So like, it tells a story and you know where to fix your shot. Other times for me on Friday, it was my driver. Like, and when we played in the Run It Back Classic, it was my driver, but so we know what we're working on. We know what we're working on in Myrtle Beach. Hope Myrtle Beach has a top golf. If so, that is rain or shine. That could help. Uh-oh, they do.
Can you imagine how busy Topgolf is in Myrtle Beach when it's raining? Anybody in Myrtle Beach for the most part, or not, I shouldn't say for the most part, but a lot of people in Myrtle Beach are there for a golf trip, I bet.
Dude, I'll tell you, this place fucks. I mean, they're open 7 days a week. They're open Sunday through Thursday from 10 a.m. till 11 p.m. And then Friday and Saturday, they're open till 1 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, they're trying to get people out there swinging.
Could you imagine like a late night top, like you and me, like we're like, we're on vacation. We wouldn't be on vacation.
Yo,
on
the beach together, here it is. I got it already. This is going to come up on the next podcast. Guys, you know, first night there was kind of mellow. We're pretty tired from the travel, gotten to bed early. Courtney and I went to sleep. I woke up around like 11:30. Figured I'm not that tired. Headed over to Top Golf for a six pack and a large bucket. Didn't get kicked out till one. Got back in bed. Didn't even know I was gone. Woke up.
I wasn't even thinking that kind of late. I was thinking more of like a belligerent late night. Like it gets to be like 10, 10:30, 11. Everybody's like, what the fuck are we going to do? Let's go to Top Golf.
Dude, I would do it religiously. If there was I would do it religiously because I love golf. I was going to give like 20 different reasons why Top Golf's awesome. But if I did it local, like, oh my God, just thinking about the possibility of bringing my own clubs to Top Golf, because every time I've been Top Golf 3 or 4 times. And every time I've been, I'm using the clubs that are already there. Which is fine, but like,
right,
you know, it's not fine.
Are they decent clubs that you get there? I've never been to a Top Golf.
I mean, they're okay. They're not up to standards with a club that I would be hitting. And I didn't mean to make it sound like that. I saw myself in the computer afterwards and I was like, wow, Brian, you looked like a fucking prick when you said that. No, but the clubs that you're hitting are probably like 7 years old. They may have like nice clubs, but they don't roll them out for me. There might be a separate membership for that. I'm not sure, but yeah. Friday and Saturday open till 1 a.m. Stay tuned.
Do you guys sell pitchers?
Sir, are you just a party of one?
Yeah.
We have a limit of 3 cups. That's fine. Bring 3 cups. I don't give a shit.
Don't even bring the cups.
Just don't fill
them. If you got a pitcher, you just got a handle for your glass. I don't know what you're talking. You basically have a big mug. Damn, that's cool, man. Well, I hope you enjoy your time in Myrtle Beach and at Topgolf. But before you're going to enjoy your time there, we need to talk about the Run It Back Classic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, wait, hold on. Before the Run It Back, I did play Friday. You want me to tell you about it? It was kind of uneventful. I can really skim through it.
Yeah, why don't you do that? Then I'll talk about my round I played on Sunday. Then we'll just talk about the Run It Back Classic to wrap it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Kev is wrapping me up early, guys. He's wrapping me up early. I must have said something to piss him off. So anyway,
I'm putting a bow on Brian today, folks.
Oh, too many daddies. All right. So I go out Friday.
Where did you play?
I played Anderson again. Okay. I haven't been able to get tee times at Gilead. I prefer Gilead. But played Anderson, invited my neighbor. I hadn't played with him before. His name's also Brian, so you know he's a good guy.
Did you guys get paired up with anybody?
No, we were supposed to, but we didn't. We got there and they were just like, you can go off. And I was like, well, that's cool.
You would have been a dream pair up. I love when I get paired up with two people and they have the same name.
Dude, I do too. And Kev, I have to tell you something. I don't know if I've told you this before. Ever since, I'd say the last year, I've gotten paired up with so many Kevins. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Like, I'm constantly just like, that's easy to remember. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, first of all, life in the rough. Here's a business card. Notice the word Kevin and Brian is on that card. Yeah, it's because I'm Brian. You could be a Kevin. You're not that Kevin, but you're a Kevin, and I'll remember you. Just stay out of my fucking way. And the last part might've been in my head when I'd say it, but yeah, no.
Yeah. You're getting a little aggressive
got
towards the folks over there.
Got paired up with a lot of Kevins. So anyways, we were riding. He prefers to ride. That's fine. I prefer to walk, but obviously you try to accommodate everybody you play with, you know, so good time, yeah. More chit chat in the cart. And we were able to cruise. We played in 3 hours and like 10 minutes or something. It was awesome. There really was like no one in front of us. It was great. But started out with a par. Then I had a bogey. Then I had a par. Then I had a par. Then I had a bogey. Then I had a squiggle. That's a double bogey. And then I had a bogey, another double bogey, and then another double bogey. I had three double bogeys on the front nine for a 45. So I shot nine over with three double bogeys.
Oh.
And on each hole, I was greenside. And I mean, I obviously didn't hit the green in regulation, but I don't want to say I bladed it. I almost like sculled it. Like had a 56, 52, and I just fucking hit it right in the middle of the ball and I shot it right over the green. And then you leave yourself in a shitty position. You're hitting back down onto the green and then you two putt from there. So
not what you're looking for.
No, it was just some ugly golf, but I mean, I had four pars. So I felt good about that. And then the back was just mediocre as fuck. I only had one par. I went bogey, 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 double, bogey, bogey, par, double, bogey. Nine over. No, that's 10 over. Sorry.
Yeah,
46. 45, 46 was a 91. But, dude, great bonding experience. I haven't heard from my neighbor since, so I'm not sure if he actually likes me anymore. But we'll see. Hey, guys, update for that later in later episodes, too.
Brian, if you're listening, reach out to your boy. He's worried about you.
Sorry, bud. But,
I mean, it sounds like you were actually, like, yeah, you didn't.
I'm striking
you
the ball 91, well.
I'm striking yeah, I was the gonna ball say,
well. Like, I'm just having just bad errors, whether it's, I'm not going to just say like every time it's a shitty lie, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's not a shitty lie. Sometimes I have a shitty shot or
a lot of times I'm not that good.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm a 13 for a reason. They assume on my best day, I'm going to be 13 strokes over par, which I beat myself up about, but that's not that bad of a handicap. I mean, it's no single digits, but if you can get out there, if you can get up and down, if you can intimidate people in matches, you can really, you know, make your way on the Corn Ferry Tour. But you know, you can get out there and hustle people on the course.
Yeah. If you're under say like a 15 handicap, even like maybe even probably like a little bit, even like maybe under a 20 handicap, like you can pretty much. You can play golf with whoever.
I think you can play golf with anybody if you're an 18. I mean,
yeah.
If you play with a pro, granted the tees are going to be different, but if they shoot a birdie, you shoot a bogey, that's only two strokes different. If someone shoots two strokes different than you on a hole, you're not like, yo, guy, let's go here. I get the pro reference isn't that great because the distances that they'd be hitting and the times they'd be waiting on someone would be different. But like if just you or I were going out there and someone shot one to two strokes different than you on every hole, you would never think about it unless he was out there taking nine practice swings, measuring the wind, using a compass, throwing a kite up in the air, just seeing what the real wind direction is. Like, then we've got problems. Then pick it up, Pete.
Right. I mean, think like if we like an 18 could go play with a 36 for the same exact reason too, though. Like if you're making a bogey and he's making a triple,
dude,
it's the same thing. You're still both, he's taking only two more strokes.
I'm pretty sure.
And one of them is probably a drop. So
dude, I'm pretty sure my neighbor shot like in 102, 103, 104, something like that. Mm-hmm. We played it just over 3 hours. There's no slow play going on there. I left him in the fairway a couple times. I made him walk. I just threw his club out in the middle of the fairway and I just drove up. I kind of insinuated that, hey, grab your putter. But no, we cruised.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to be efficient out there. That's the thing for me. Like, I don't care how good or bad you are on the golf course. If you're a really good golfer and you play slow as fuck, I don't want to play golf with you. But if you're a really bad golfer and you play quick, I will play with you every single week.
And gamble.
Yeah. 100%. I also had just kind of like a pretty average round on Sunday.
Little hangover Kev had from the run it back. Kid got too hammered, drank too much champagne.
Yeah, so I played Sunday morning. I had the opposite problem I've been having all year, and I got out to a hot start instead of getting out to a slow start. First two doesn't really – I went par, bogey to start, but then I go par, par, birdie. So I'm even through five.
Love that. Love being even.
Yeah, just playing well. I mean, the bogey was I had one bad shot. Like, I hit, like, kind of a bad drive. I had to hit a punch shot out, and I still would have been able to get there in three. And I just hit a – I, like, almost, like, towed my punch shot, hit a tree, and I was, like, all pissed off. But whatever. Anyway, I'm even through five, so I'm feeling good. I then go bogey, double, par, double to shoot six over on the front.
Wow, that turned quick.
So, yeah, I was six over through the last four, five over through the last four, whatever. So then that just, like, throws me off. I then go double, bogey, par, bogey, double, bogey, par, par, birdie.
Kid just firing birdies out there.
42 on the back. So
there
yeah,
you go. I had two birdies.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've only talked about 27 holes of golf, and I have four birdies. So the kid's playing good, but I'm also shooting. I mean, I shot an 83 that day. So played a pretty solid round. Like, nothing – I didn't play poorly. I didn't play excellent. So just an average round. But I don't know, man. It was weird. Like, I would, like, mess up my drive on one hole, and then the next hole I would, like, chunk a chip shot or, like, something stupid like that. Like, it wasn't, like, the same thing all day like you were talking about. It was – the complete opposite. Like, each time I had an issue, it was a different thing. So it was kind of frustrating, but that's okay. Played well overall. And that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the Run It Back Classic.
Oh, big things. Major number two. If you guys don't remember, Brian took home major number one. Kev, did I win that with two holes to go?
I think you did.
I think
won 3-2.
But yeah, you know, listen, we brought it back to the same place. We're going to run it back. New restaurant. Had to get to a new restaurant. As you guys have heard on previous episodes, the restaurant we had was not up to par like our games.
Questionable at best.
Yeah. So we ended up – no, we won't even get to where we ended up. So we run it back at Tocoa Country Club in Westfield, Mass., and Kev and I we're ready to go. This is we got there for a 1:10 tee time. We both showed up around 12:30. We were riding because that was the deal that we got online. We show up. It looked like there was a huge tournament that took place in the morning, so the course didn't look that packed. There were people literally tailgating with, like, pop-up tents in the corner of the parking lot. Like, guys were getting after it. These guys, like, their shirts weren't, like, going down their bellies all the way when they were sitting in their lounge chairs. Like, these guys were fucking turnt. So we figured that it was going to be a pretty smooth day. We get there and the guy's like, why don't you guys go off the back? And I was like, well, he's like, no one's out there. And I was like, well, all right, but, like, are there going to be people on the front when we get there? Because we've got to play that 9-2, Phil. And we weren't sure. We did what Phil said. So he then told us about some family and people getting sick, and it got real dark with Phil.
It was really weird. He gave us a lot of information. We were at the course for less than 10 minutes, and we received so much information about this man's personal life that I was concerned. Like, I was still, my body still could hardly move from the commute.
Dude, it was weird. He talked to us for about 75 feet from us walking to the clubhouse to get our cart. And he gave us more information than you get on a 30-minute episode of Dr. Phil. So
we had to stop. Like, we couldn't just get into the cart and drive away. We had to, like, finish the conversation with him before we sat. Like, we stopped at the cart and, like, leaned against the cart, still talking to him as he's telling us about, like, his mother's friend's sister-in-law, dad, who was ill. So yeah, it was a thing,
dude. It was so we start on 10. So
we did start on 10.
We started on 10, and guys, I don't know if this would surprise anybody, but I teed off first, and I found the fairway, no big deal. I heard somebody yell fairway finder as I hit, and I don't know if there was someone in their group that was called the fairway finder, but I thought that maybe they heard about me. So who knows? We'll just take it as a coincidence. But yes, I hit the fairway, So what, I missed the green. That's not what's important. What's important is I don't call myself the green finder. I'm not the greens keeper. I'm the fairway finder. You call me the green.
You landed on the green and rolled onto the fringe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it still counts as a one putt, but I came out of there with a par. I felt good about that. Kev, unfortunately, went over the green on his first shot. And although I had a great second.
Wait, no. I hit the green. It just proceeded to bounce off of it and go 25 feet, maybe 25, 30 feet beyond the green, the elevated green.
Yeah, no, it wasn't an easy up and down. He put the ball probably, I'd say 8 to 10 feet away from the hole. It was a real nice shot, maybe 10 feet.
You said nice par to me. Do you remember? You said nice par as the ball was rolling because we both thought it was going in the cup and I lipped out.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I was about to putt my ball and then I said, is this really the type of day we're about to have? So then we had a par three next. So I'm up 1-0. Guys, and the rules are very simple. You don't three putt because then you own the belt and you don't want to lose because then you buy dinner. So if you got the belt, you pay the tip. If you lose the round, you pay for dinner. So next hole is a par three, easiest hole on the course, -70, nothing to it. It's just 170 yards away and the hole is as big as a golf hole. So yeah,
I believe it was playing 167 when we shot it.
All right. Kev, did you hit that green?
Yeah, I had a great tee shot actually.
I didn't mark your putts down. I've got a scorecard in front of me, but I didn't mark them down. I had enough to worry about with mine. And I was the secondary scorekeeper. You were the primary scorekeeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I bogeyed. You parred.
Yeah, I hit a great tee shot and I just didn't make my birdie putt, which was makeable. I was like, I don't know, 10, 12 feet. You were in a jam though. You had a great
I was short right.
Chip shot.
I was,
honestly, you had a really good two putt there too.
Yeah, I was short right and probably left the ball a good 18, 20 feet short. No, I'm sorry. I went long. And then I was putting.
No, you didn't. You went short.
Did I go short?
You were short right under that tree.
Yes, but I'm saying my second shot onto the green. Didn't that roll past the.
Yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
Past the flag and then I two putted back for a moment. You know, you took the par, you went back up to tie it up, back to even.
All square through two.
We got a par five next. I am stroking on this par five.
Which we did not know until the end of the hole, I believe, right? Like, wasn't it like, or maybe the next tee box, we were like, oh, wait, you were getting
the next tee box is when we figured it out.
Yeah.
Guys, 580-yard par five here. Now, the tree line on the left and right is lined with these fucking trees. I'll put a photo on the Instagram. I don't even know what they are. They're like just bases of just wood, and then at the top, they're pine trees.
They're all like skinny, tall, and like perfectly straight.
And all, I'd say, 2.5 feet, 3-4 feet away from each other. Yeah. Like,
and they are close together, friends. Yeah. Close. So
you get on the other side of them, you're either punching directly back into the fairway or God help you. So
if you've seen Game of Thrones, it's like if you're trying to get from one fairway to the other, that you got to go over the Great Wall.
Yeah, it was not good. So second hardest hole in the course for a reason. I tugged my tee show up. The fade that wasn't sliced. And ended up in the fairway of 13. And then I tried to punch it back out. I hit a tree, end up hitting my third shot all the way down, kind of underneath some trees. Actually was able to hit my fourth shot onto the green. I somehow had a par putt. I didn't make the par putt, but finding my way onto that green for a par putt after duffing it like I did and hitting a tree, there was some confidence there. I'll tell you, I didn't feel horrible about it. You, on the other hand, had a fucking missile down the left-hand side. Your second shot wasn't the best, but you still put your third shot on the green.
Yeah.
And then
I two-putted for par.
Two-putted for par. So you back up one through three.
Oh, No, I'm not, because you were stroking on that hole, which we didn't realize the whole time we were playing it.
Oh, that's right.
We prefaced it, and you still forgot about it. That was Kev,
it's not marked on the scorecard, man. It's not marked. That's what happens. So, although
I marked it, can you see it?
I did. I think
I started putting dots down.
Those were after the fact marked.
Yeah, after that hole, I put all the dots down.
All right. So Kev had the momentum. He was like, damn, I should have won that hole. I didn't. We're still even after three. So he goes out and he pars the next hole effortlessly. Not just pars the next hole. He pars the next two holes. He pars the next hole and then birdies the next hole. Kevin got pissed, is what happened. He said, oh, I was stroking. And then you just saw him kind of like turn a little bit harder in his swing. And then the ball would go, and I'm like, nice shot, Kev. Like, thanks. I was like, all right, Kev.
Well, the drive I hit on four after the par five was an absolute piss missile, like to the point that I was like, oh, I got, like, I cannot hit my ball any further than that.
I said I think I need to start playing the tees ahead of you, like as a joke, but like he's out driving me by 70 yards each hole. Like, guys, let me tell you who did not have morale after the fifth, sixth hole. I was over here like, I really hope I make this last. I think I said that the first time we played together too. Like, he just hits the ball so far and I don't. And I'm like, and
I will say early on, there was like cause you were not, especially early on in the match, you were not hitting your driver well. And there was a couple of times that like I hit a good one and you hit one that you're, I'm like, oh, he has to like punch out and then hit his ball kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I got, like, I'm going to be good. But
Oh yeah. Well, that's what happened on the
fifth. You're a slugger.
Yeah. See, I'm just dodging and weaving. So fourth hole after I was stroking, you parred, I bogeyed. So you're back up one.
Yep.
Then we get to the par five that you birdied. That was the type of thing. My shot went to the right. I had to punch out. Then I had to hit up. I scolded into a bunker.
You sculled it, yeah.
And then I had a bunch of problems. So we got a triple bogey there. That was fun. So now I'm down two through five. But down two through five, losing the last four holes. That was tough. That, I mean, I knew I on the scorecard or like with the stroke, I may have only lost three out of the last four holes, but he had a better score than me on the last four holes. I was tight. I pounded a claw, blackberry. It was delicious. Then cracked a pineapple. That was delicious. And
then cracked six more pineapples. Two more blackberries.
Only three of each come in a 12 pack, Kevin. No. So we said we had to shake it off. Taylor Swift, shake it off. So we go to the 15th hole, 340 yard.
The 15th hole, our sixth hole. Yes.
Correct. And it was awful. You and I both made a misery of this hole. We're not even going to go into detail. You had to drop. I had bunkers twice. I found so much fucking sand at this course, dude. And I feel like I'm getting a little bit explicit tonight. I'm gonna tone that back. I apologize, viewers.
Wait, hold on. Just say what we each had on this hole.
Oh, I had a double bogey six. And
what did I have?
Kevin had a seven.
So I just pulled out the inaugural obligational invitational scorecard that I just happened to have on my desk here. Last time we played this hole, you won with a triple and I had a quad.
Oh my gosh, guys, why is this hole so difficult for us? It's the 12th handicap on the card. It's a dog leg left, right? Well, a slight dog leg left. Yeah, I'd call it a dog leg left.
It's a kind of a hard dog leg left, but it's a short par four. Like, I shouldn't hit driver on that hole, and I did. And if I'm going to hit driver, I need to take a far more aggressive line so I don't go like in, because like it's like lined with trees on both sides. So you just need to hit like a good shot.
Right.
And we don't know how to hit a good shot.
No, we do not. So, so I took that hole, brought a little confidence back. So I was only down.
That hole you were down one. Yeah. Cause I was up two after the par five that I birdied and then you just won that hole. So now you're down one.
So
and then we go on to 16, which is the par three.
Yes. 16th handicap. I hit the green. Felt easy about it. Felt no big deal. Brian's just hitting greens. I don't do that a lot. But, yeah, I got out of there with a par.
I did not. Hit the bunker that was right in front of the pin. Fatted my tee shot. Hit a pretty decent bunker shot, like one that I wasn't upset about because I had like this weird, awkward downhill lie. Hit a decent shot. And then I three putted, which means Kev has the belt as of 16, our seventh hole of the day. We move on to 17.
And we're even.
We are even going into 17, which is a 90 degree dogleg right. And from where the blue tee box is, you need to hit a ball 260 to clear, to get past the corner, maybe. Right, you say was, maybe 250.
It was horseshit. Well, I couldn't tell you because I found myself in the middle of this forest that looked like it was from Hogwarts. I was fucking in the middle of these trees trying.
You
had a fucking piss. Kevin hits a ball about 275 yards. Guys, this ball didn't get more than, I don't know, 3.5-4 feet off the ground.
I mishit the shit out of this drive and it just happened to work. But like, it wasn't good because like it ended up being a perfect drive as of where it ended up. But I struck it so poorly and not how I was planning on that it just like allowed my wheels to kind of continue to fall off a little bit. And I wasn't feeling good at this point.
Well, either way, I'm pretty sure hit the green, two putt parred.
No, I didn't. I missed the green and I
down and parred.
Yeah, I made that six swinging putt.
Oh, right.
Because I got to read off your long ass putt that you had to hit.
Right. Three into the bunker, four onto the green, downhill severely. I rolled past the hole and then I had an uphill putt.
Yeah, you probably had like a 70 foot putt that was downhill and you probably left it 10 to 15 feet short of the hole. You made the huge putt. Like it didn't, like I already won the hole, but I kept the belt at that point.
And you also took the lead going up one, going into the last hole of the back nine, but our front nine.
Right.
Kev, yeah, that was a big, that was big. Your par was huge, but let me tell you from the shit that I had got into on the course. And then by that, with that two putt, I had a lot of confidence. Not that I could really, do anything super spectacular, but the nipples got hard. The hair on the back of my neck was standing up a little bit. Maybe add another pineapple. I was ready to go. I was fired up. I just replaced an F word with fired up. See there, I'm catching on. And then we had a par three to end. I don't like that. I really don't like that, especially on 18. I don't like
it. Especially this par three. It's, how long is it?
231 yards.
Yeah.
So I went three wood and I missed the green, but got up and down for a bogey. By up and down, I mean, yeah, I had some problems after I missed the green. And then I putted for a bogey.
We can sum up this hole as in I gave this hole to you basically because I hit a pretty solid tee shot and just left it about a foot short of the green. And then I sculled my chip shot into the bunker behind the green.
Yeah.
And then had to get it up and did not get it down. And then I made a double bogey for a five and you won with your bogey.
Right. So, we played the back nine first. We're even. We are even in terms of our match play. Shot a 42. Very good. A 42, by the way. And I had a 46, not what I wanted, but hey, when you have an eight, don't complain about what you got.
No.
So we flipped the scorecard. We flipped it over to the side we should have been on to start. We went back to one, which is a mirror image of 10, in my opinion, and we're even. So it wasn't really much for us to figure out. And then
at this point, we're playing a 9-hole match.
See, and that's really where the Intimidator turns it on.
Oh, yeah.
I draft for a little bit. I tend to draft Anya on the first nine. And then I hammer it. I hammer the gas. Not that I was giving you the good smoke, but I was giving you enough smoke that you were coughing on it, and you weren't able to perform like you had been. Settled up from the back. We each shot a 43. So on the front nine, when just looking at the scores, yeah, well, I'll take it. A 43 for me? Yeah, that's seven over. Not bad at all. Now, the way we got there, a lot of fours, a lot of sixes, a lot of fives. Then that 1-7. Then there's that 1-7. So first hole, dog leg right. Very similar to the 10th hole. I didn't do anything special. I bogeyed. But Kevin,
I did something special. Triple bogey. That's pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was special for me. It helped. Listen, Kev. Listen, man, eight holes left. I'm up one. I turned the music up a little bit. I turned on a NASCAR song. Sweet Home Alabama, I think, came on after. And next hole, fifth hardest hole in the course. I par. I just go out there. Nice one putt. And I get a par. Kevin, bogeys. Yep. And Sweet Home Alabama is getting to it. Like it, I think I replayed it, to be honest. I may have, and I think he said something like this fucking song again. I was like, no, I think bad Wi-Fi, Bluetooth problems, technical issues.
Oh, my bad. The repeat button was on.
Yeah, actually, I hit that twice. So I'm up two through two, seven holes to go. Next hole, par three.
What do you do with your tee shot, Bri?
17 handicap.
Shocking. Not a simple, it's a par three, but not a simple par three.
Over a bunch of shit. There is a ton of shit on the right-hand side.
Well, it's OB right. Everything between the tee box and the green is a pond, or left of the pond is just like fescue in the cart path. And then beyond the green is also shit, except for the part that's just the rough and straight downhill until it gets to the cart path. It's just like it's the tee box and the green. That's what the hole is.
Or short right. Just short right's okay.
Just hardly short right.
Just hardly short right, about 7 feet over the water, about 7 feet short of the green. Perfect spot to land it, to go
exactly where you want to lay up on this hole.
If before Kevin, once I hit the ball, I was in my head, I was like, and Kev, from a different vantage point, he was like, oh, you're good. So I knew he saw it bounce. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the whole time he's hitting, I'm trying to like get to the spot that he was standing. I was like, I don't know how this fucking ball is going to be good. But when we got up there, it certainly, I mean, I was flirting with disaster, certainly. But with where it did bounce, I had more than enough room to play the shot. Put it up on the green. I two putt. Dude, the greens were tough here. I mean, fast greens, that's what you get.
That green is... especially,
yeah, and first
that was a 17th
for the 17th handicap. Like, it's a, I don't know, it's a bit much.
It's a really tough par for the 17th handicap.
So right, so you obviously drop off the tee, had some issues. You know, you finish out the hole fine, but you start hitting three from the drop zone. You know, what do you expect besides a double bogey?
I expect to be three down through the first three of the back nine.
How'd you feel at that point, Kev? I mean,
I was not feeling good. I was, because it wasn't just like I went down three through these last three holes, but it wasn't just that. It was like the last, I don't know, like even like the three, four holes before we made the turn, I was just, I could feel the game kind of falling apart a little bit. I had no confidence. I was all over the place. It was not promising, but I knew honestly, once I went down three is when I knew I had it. I was like, I can still do this. And I started to kind of turn a corner mentally.
So next hole, fourth hole, hardest hole on the course.
Yeah.
Talk to me about
it. We both. So I hit a bomb. I tried to hit a cut and it just went dead straight. And I ended up in the other fairway that ran parallel, which is like kind of fine. Like you can, I was honestly, I hit it far enough that I was like on the left side so I could still hit back over the trees. So I was able to hit back. You also hit a drive that kind of went into the woods. You had to punch out. if I remember correctly.
Yep. Sure did.
So we basically hit the same shit off the tee. We had to punch out. And then I think we both got there in three. No? Or did you? No, you had to lay up and then you got there in four.
Yeah. Oh, guys, see how he remembers my horridity on the golf course? Not sure if that's a word. But no, yeah, I got there in four. I two putted with a bogey. Kevin turns it fucking on with a par. Kid gets back on the right path. The only problem is I'm stroking on this hole. It's the hardest hole on the course,
which we addressed on the tee box and we both forgot about by the end of the hole.
Well, at least we didn't forget about it by the time we finished talking about it, like we did the first time.
Right.
No. So that was, dude, that must have been a little disheartening, but at the same time, it must have been a little bit of morale kick to be like, no, I've got this. I'm back in the bag.
It was great. Now. And I go into the next tee box, short, like probably the shortest par four on the course. And I have a lot of confidence. So I'm like, oh, I'm feeling good. We're playing golf. Let's go. I got to come back. And I hit a great drive, a little bit off the line I wanted, but it was a great drive. Got it out there. And then your ass steps up onto the tee box and hits it on the perfect line with the perfect angle into this flag. And I was like, oh, fuck, you know what? Brian's not going down without a fight.
No, I couldn't. Listen, that's when I put it into the next gear, let the Intimidator rev, and I said, let's play out the hole. Granted, I missed the green on my next shot, but I still managed to get out of there with a par. That's the other thing, Kev. I felt like when I was missing greens, I was leaving myself, like I was within like 20, 30 feet. So like I was able to put my chips close enough, my approach wedge shots close enough where I was leaving myself 12 foot putts. So like, or, you know, maybe 8 to 12 foot putts. So it was either a good putt for par or not the best, but we'll get out of there with a bogey. Like,
right. You're mitigating disaster, which is what you need to do on the golf course.
For sure. But you know, finished that hole like a stud as well.
Yeah. I mean, we both ended up with pars, which is fine, but it doesn't get me any closer to being even or being the victor of the Runabout Classic.
No. So now you're down three with four holes to go.
Right. And this I have the honor, if I remember correctly.
You do have the honor. You tried to give it to me.
Yes, and I proceed to hit probably my best shot of the day.
Oh, sorry, par three. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Long par three.
Long par three. Oh. 223. Another long one. They were not short. If I remember correctly, I was short, put my second one on, and two-putted for a bogey. And then Kevin got out of there with a par. Ready to steamroll ahead. down two with three holes to go. He says, let's just keep it going.
Yeah, let's go. Us
to number seven, a par five, 466 yards. Kevin just keeps it on. He keeps the pedal to the metal. Kid comes out of here with a par. I bogey it. But the thing is, guys, this was the last hole that I was stroking on. I stroked on four holes. This is the handicap number three. So there's another push here. This is a push here. So Kevin is now down two strokes with two holes to go, down two in the match. This is big. This is big time. He knew
you could call this crunch time.
This was, and he knew it was crunch time. And he put something in my drink and I felt woozy and I double bogeyed and then he parred. And then all of a sudden he's down one with one to go. Holy fucking shit. Guys, it got
holy fucking shit is right.
Ninth hole, 348 yards. It's really straight. Relatively straight. Yeah, it's pretty straight. There's the fairway kind of moves a little bit, but yeah, it's straight. And pressure's on. Kevin's down one with one to go. It's time. This is make it or break it. You know.
Kev hooks it hard left to the left of the trees that run along the left side of the fairway and has no opportunity to hit for the green. What do you do off the tee, Bri?
I found a fairway.
yeah. Yeah, but where on the fairway were you? You skied it and you hit it. Probably you're like, I probably hit that 150 yards. It probably went hurt. Do you remember that? And you had to hit a heroic three wood.
I hit a three wood and then I had to chip on and one putt for par.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I had to punch out from the other side of the trees, hit it on to a makeable distance. And I think I don't know if I lipped out. I made bogey and that secured your victory in the Run It Back Classic, making you 2-0 and myself 0-2.
I shot an 89. You shot an 85. You were giving me 4 strokes. You beat me by 4 strokes.
Isn't that crazy?
I think that's awesome. The handicap system at its best. No, it's great. I think next time we'll probably play somewhere different. Although I don't know, man, I like the course now that we found the place that we ate afterwards, guys, the Westwood, if you're going to Westfield, Massachusetts, the Westwood is where you want to eat some food. Okay. Had these bourbon sirloin tips with garlic mashed potatoes. They were fucking amazing. Amazing.
Well, all right. First of all, Brian also went double starch. You went mashed potatoes and French fries.
They were Parmesan French fries. They weren't just French fries. All right.
I know what was on these French fries. I also had these French fries.
Yeah, I didn't like my other options. I'm not getting, for all that know me, you know I'm not getting no fucking steamed broccoli. You know I'm not going to get some whatever the other shit was, Kevin. I want my starch. I'm a steak and potato family, born and raised with a Bud Light.
Love that. Yeah. No, the Westwood is fantastic. The Run It Back Classic was a classic, for lack of a better word, because there's no better word for it. It was just a classic. It was a hard fought match. I mean, the most off we ever got was three down.
Yeah, it started hot on the when we got to the back nine. You were down three quick, and then you turned that around just as quick.
Yeah, it was a good round. It was nice back and forth. Obviously, congratulations to you. The next major, I mean, that's going to be, I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we'll figure that out. We may want to go a different format. Yeah. I don't know what we would do necessarily, but
we can figure
we can talk about out. It.
We've got time. Well, it'll hopefully be in July. If not, yeah, we'll have to make it for early August, but I'd like to continue to try to do one every month, give the viewers something to look forward to. But yeah, man, I will be heading out in a couple of days for Myrtle Beach. I hope that I've got at least 2 to 3 rounds to talk about next week when I get back.
That'll be awesome, man. Well, yeah, I hope you have a safe flight. I hope you enjoy your trip. I hope the rain stays away. I also will be playing some golf between now and then, and we'll talk about that next week.
All right, boss. Well, guys, we appreciate you listening. Look forward to hearing what's going on next week.
I'm Kevin O'Coin.
I'm Brian Ackley. This has been Life in the Rough, the podcast.